Hi, I'm Tiffany, and thank you so much for joining me in this episode. This is my first episode, and I'm really excited to be sharing with you the lessons I've picked up so far from transitioning into design and learning about design from scratch. I'm self-taught, I'm using free resources, and I'm sure this is going to be a fun episode because I'll also be sharing a couple of personal experiences. So that I cannot just motivate you, but you can open up your way of thinking and be broad about it and be open-minded about it. So, first of all, I'll specify that I am a user experience designer. I'd like to say product designer, and I do digital products, specifically apps and websites and all that stuff. So you might not like be necessarily a product designer, but it's going to resonate with you and you're going to learn a couple of things, and I hope that you will find this episode full of utility, full of value, because 6 months of learning design has not been easy. It is not easy at all, but it's so worth it because I get to do something that piques my interests and my creativity every single day. It's a blessing. And let's dive into it. Let me not get emotional. So, first of all, I've learned that you should never compare yourself to any other person. Number two, you need to look at a product multidimensionally and root it to deep purpose. And because of that, you need to learn about different fields, be it psychology, communication, politics, dynamics of power. You need to learn about that stuff. Not generalizing your knowledge, I mean, not generalizing your skill set, but just generalizing your knowledge. But you can specialize in your skill set. Something else I've learned is that you need to be aware of who you are. You need to develop your own sense of approach, or of how you approach your designing process, your own perspective, your own style of doing stuff, and it might not be prevalent to you or known to you when you're starting out, but a few months in, you'll start seeing things that you like and you want to be adept with, and you want to actually practice, and that's your like your own sense of being, and you should tap into that. And something else, you also need to love design. That's something I've learned. And something else I also need to share with you is that you need to be the person who comes through for the team through thick and thin. And you need to make rest regular. And also, you need to create more than you consume. And you need to design with good reason. You just don't put things on the screen because they look fancy or hot, but you put things for a good reason. And you realize that good design is as little design as possible. Yes. So that was in brief. So now I can discuss with you point by point. I started with never compare yourself with any other designer. I realized that I'd started getting jealous of other people, and I started questioning my self-worth, and that led me to take a heart check and realize that that's utterly ridiculous. Why would I even think that? But I realized that this is a temptation we often fall into, comparing ourselves with other people without forgetting the important fact that we are unique. The way we have been brought up, our environment, where we live, the way we live, our culture, our way of approaching problems, the unique perspectives we have, that unique eye, our personality, our character. There are very many variables that make, and those combination of variables make us unique, because all these combinations are different. And comparing myself with another human being does not make sense. And what does not make sense even more, I'd say, is me comparing myself to my fellow problem solver. What we need to be comparing is our works and that also should be done to a certain degree, because there are very many variables in place as well. So never compare yourself to any other designer, but compare your works, because this will enable you to point out where you're good, where you're weak at. And if you're called upon by any other person to deliver feedback, please do so by practicing the art of constructive criticism. Don't be the person who says your work looks like crap. Disappear. No, that will not help any other person. That will certainly not help you. What you need to do is point out what exactly makes it look like crap. Maybe the text hierarchy is off. Maybe the typeface they're using is not what needs to be used for that particular problem. Maybe that the white space is just off. So you need to point that out. For example, the text hierarchy is off. Why don't you try doing ABC? And if you need to learn more about text hierarchy, go to this resource. They cover this thing very well. And I can't wait for you to iterate your design so that I can check it out again. Nonetheless, I love ABC. That's it. You didn't hurt any other people's feelings, but you did what you needed to do. So learning the art of learning the art of constructive criticism does take time, but that will only occur if you realize that number one, you're not perfect, and number two, no one is perfect, and number three, you need to be someone who is not envious and jealous and who does not compare, because I realized personally that I want to be a person who helps people. And in light of that, maybe one day, if God wills, I would love to teach design, and that will not occur. I can't be a teacher if I'm this person who condemns and compares, but I'll only achieve this goal if I'm able to see the good and the bad and know how to put it out in a palatable way, in a way that will help someone and a way that will help me. So please never compare works, but to a certain degree. It will help you learn. It helps me learn what I'm good at, what I suck at, and I get to open up my ways of thinking and also tear apart other people's designs and see the fantastic things they're doing. And I get to see that as a sign that one day I'll also be able to achieve fantastic works, and I keep on and I grow day by day. So it's something I'm still working on. And I hope that even if you're going through the same thing, that you will join me in this journey of not comparing. Yes. Number two, I talked about looking at a product multidimensionally and rooting it with deep purpose. This has helped me personally come up with this product that I hold so dearly to my heart. And this project, particular product I'm talking about, was not just rooted with deep purpose, but it was filled with so much love, if I can say that. It's not fully conceptual because it's something in the works. It's a mental health app that helps users share their stories, learn more about mental health in a Kenyan context, and also level up their mental health through various activities of their interest and inclinations, and also seek for help. This was piqued by something I went through, and I realized that I see myself as a target audience, and I have more reasons than one to come up with this product, and I realized this connected and resonated with other people, courtesy of the research we did. And it has more strong points. It has really strong reasons for it to exist. And that's why it will motivate me as a designer, not just to do my best, but to know that it's going to help people. That's something really real, if I can put it that way. And when you're talking about looking at a product multidimensionally, this is looking at it from different points of view, really. When you, let's take a case, why not? So this is an idea I had a while back, but it was dismissed by my classmates. Not really dismissed, but it wasn't really appreciated the way I appreciated it myself in my mind, if I can call it that way. So one of the ideas I had was to come up with a website, because those days I just knew websites were the it thing. So a website that would help plus size people shop for clothes for a cheaper price, which are custom, better, with a better experience, pretty much do that in a way that is not just respectful to them, but it's a lovely experience, if I can put it that way. So I'll put that, because personally I'll say I've gone through an experience where shopping for clothes wasn't really easy for me. So that piqued that idea. If I come up with a website that will meet that problem. So let's take that case for this illustration of looking at a product multidimensionally. Well, you can have different members of your team discussing this at length. You'll do your research, you'll brainstorm ideas, you'll isolate pain points, you'll do empathy maps, you'll run scenarios, you will come up with personas, you will do everything, but there's one thing: if you fail to do, you'll not be relevant as much as you're doing all this research. Well, if what I can do to benefit this team, hypothetical team of mine, is number one, if I look at the users from a multidimensional point of view, my users are not just my customers. That's an error we make a lot. My users are not just my customers. When I talk about my users, now for this specific context, plus size people, I'm talking about also people who are not plus size, who are interested in these clothes. I'll talk about people who are third parties, the taxmen, the suppliers, the merchants, the fashion designers. I'll talk about people in culture, people who are the it thing in culture and media. I'll talk about content creators, social media influencers, people in the arts. I'll talk about people in fashion, people in production, people in the film industry, people in the religious, from religious backgrounds, because people from religious backgrounds have a strong standpoint in people, how people wear clothes. Those are also my users. I'll talk about people who are from the legal, because you want to be delivering a product which is legal in the first place, and the legal stuff is just complicated, but nonetheless you also need to look from that point of view. You need to look from the investor point of view. Is it something which is worth investing in terms of your cash? Is it someone's while, when if they decide to put coins in your product? You have to ask such questions. You have to think from each person's point of view on how your app is relevant to them. You have to think about how they feel about the product. You have to literally see, you have to literally visualize, you need to empathize from each point of view, from each industry, from each background that you can. That is contextually appropriate. And once you do that, you'll be able to approach your problem when it comes down to sketching and your user journeys. It's going to be really relevant now because you'll be encompassing so many different points of view, and it will be relevant. And also, when you're now your foot is on the ground and you're now working on it, if I can put it that way, well, is it just about how it looks? As a designer, I think most of us, that's all we care about. But for you, you're different. I'm different. It's not just about how I look, how it looks. Pardon me. It's also about the words I use, the message that comes across. Now the communication point of view matters, the business point of view. How am I framing these screens? Is it someone's worth? Is it worth the concentration, the prayers, the is it like, finally, man, I've been looking for this, for something like this all this time. Thank God I've downloaded this app. Is it worth the experience? Are you answering someone's prayer? Like, such stuff. Is it communicating arrogance, or is it communicating a humble, loving environment? And you need to think also from the art point of view. Is it on chic? Are the elements symbolic in some form? And you also have to think from the psychological point of view. How do I want to make my users feel when they interact with the app? Such stuff, that's like multidimensional now. It's not just how it looks, but from different points of view and levels of thinking. And because you need to do that, you also need to learn more in different fields, from psychology, business, politics, the dynamics of power, dynamics of business, dynamics of, sport, all that stuff. Whatever piques your interest, whatever you need to learn, just don't restrict yourself in design, but explore different fields and fall in love with different fields and different pieces of knowledge, and learn more. This will help you gain a different point of view that is not being experienced or felt or seen or looked at by your team members, that will definitely benefit your team. So you have to, learn different stuff, and definitely it will help you when you're interacting with other people from day to day. You'll be able to put something across, a point across. You'll be able to contribute to a conversation or point out a problem from a unique point of view. So learn about stuff. I'm not saying everything, but what is relevant to your design process, your own unique thing, okay? Something else I've learned is, because of that, you need to also develop your own sense of approach of design, your own perspective, your own opinion, your own style. You have to, develop also your own inclinations and be honest with yourself about how you work, why you work the way you do, what appeals to you, what is striking to you, what you abhor. You need to have these things. You have to know this stuff. I'm not saying you need to know like everything at once, but you have to have that interest of exploring daily and learning and adjusting. This will help you. This has helped me personally develop acceptance for my environment, because I'm at the farm. I cannot schedule stuff, but I do what I can, and it has also helped me develop different sense and also styles of working and styles of approaching problems. So do your own thing, man. Something else I've learned is that you have to make rest regular. I reached burnout at the time. I was not supposed to burn out, but with design being a creative field, I had to take some time off. And it made me realize that I don't need to reach burnout. I don't need to reach the point of stress that I need to now rest, take a beep, but make rest regular. If it's time to sleep, get off your device and just sleep. You might need 6 hours of sleep, 7, 8. I personally need 9 to get my mind active and full of ideas and full of zeal. So take the time you need to rest. Respect rest. This hustle culture of sleep when you're dead, that may help some people, but that will not help you as a designer. You need to rest. You need to treasure rest. You treasure hard work, you also need to treasure rest, because rest will help you not just connect with your family and your loved ones and those people who make your heart feel jiggly and lovely, but you also need to rest so that you can connect with nature and also connect with things you love. And it will also help you relax your mind so that you can rejuvenate and become stronger. So make rest regular. Something else I mentioned, create more than you consume. This is something you need to learn, like way, 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 way. This is like now a tip. Create more than consume. You need to learn as early as now that you need to spend less time consuming and more time creating, because creating, now going into practice, helps you exercise what you've learned. This is also a way of exposing what you don't know yet, so that you can learn it the hard way, the messy way. But you'll learn it and you'll be able to level up. And the less you, I'm not saying you don't consume at all. I'm just saying the ratio of you creating should be more relative to what you consume. So consume less and create more. You'll fail more, but you'll get up much faster and learn and adapt and grow. Something else I've learned is that you should love design. This is something I hold dearly to my heart, because it's not something that I knew I would do, but I ventured upon it and it took me a long time to arrive at this. And it's not easy for me, because it's not that I have all the time in this world, number one, and there's so much out of my control. And of course, definitely the things we go through, so that also contributes. But nonetheless, I plead with you not to waste your time doing something you don't love. I'm not saying something that stresses you out, but something you don't love. You have to choose a struggle. Design is hard and stressful from what I've learned so far in my 6 months, but I know it's a struggle I have chosen and I accept it because I have fun. And it's something that, you know, that feel that I know I can't go back, even though I'm called upon to, you know, go back and compromise. This is my story. In 2014, I finished high school, and at that juncture, I knew I was going to do something math related. I did not know what exactly, just finished high school. I was so excited because now in 2015, we had like these partially paid scholarships to do web development. I was so excited. So, early 2015, we attended college learning HTML. Did we learn CSS? But I know we learned JavaScript and some PHP and some C++, because we were doing Windows apps. And at that time, Windows was like the hot thing. And because the Microsoft phones were out, yeah, so we were doing Windows apps. And I designed this beautiful app, which was a Christian app which would help, you know, Christians, you know, follow along with their journey and make church services easier. If it's recording notes, reading the Bible, reading more resources, it would be easier. And I was really proud of my presentation. I was really proud of the design, because the design personally to me, even now, if I were to remember how it looked really nice. It had a blue background and the apps were properly spaced, and I felt like the white space was on point and the layout was fantastic. Yeah, and people laughed at my presentation, but nonetheless, I was really proud of myself. Too bad that app never got to see the light of day, because I somehow lost the files. I don't know how. Nonetheless, a month later, I did some SSD, and the idea, the app I came up with was a project which would help passengers pay for the ticket in advance for a traveling company. Anyways, that was in 2015. Then I joined campus and I did Bachelor of Commerce. I took a Bachelor of Commerce. So it looks like my business acumen is on point, because I got honors eventually. And it was a journey in itself, because I didn't know accounts and you needed to know a lot of stuff, like what revenues were, what assets were, because those are kind of the things you need to learn to make, to prepare documents, financial statements and all that stuff. I was pretty lame at that, but I got the hang of it and I became good at it. As of 2016, I knew I was going to be a financial person. I was going to be an auditor, an accountant, and I wanted to specialize in accounting, but too bad, because our school didn't have like that specific qualification or that specialization. But nonetheless, I took the next best thing, which is finance, and we struggled, and nonetheless we came out, yeah, on top, if I can put it that way. But 2017 was just that year when things went wrong, really, really wrong. And it was a year I was supposed to do my attachment, and I went to an audit firm, but my mind wasn't there. My heart definitely wasn't there. And by 2018, I was questioning my love for this thing. But you can't really question, you know, openly, because you need to get a job in that field. So you just keep your questioning in your heart. And by 2019, I was learning code now, seriously, because now my interest in this field had declined. Surprisingly enough, in 2017, during my attachment, I was spending more time crafting ideas and coming up with solutions to the problems that are there in my society at that time. And I had documented them properly in PowerPoints, weirdly, and it was amazing. I even pitched some of the ideas to my acquaintance at that time, of whom I've never seen ever since, but nonetheless I pitched, and one of the projects I got to implement, to design, just the other day. But nonetheless, it's just interesting, because now in 2019 I knew I could make my dreams come true by learning code, because I take all those ideas and code them out. And 2020, I came across 2019 and 2020, I came across opportunities of learning code, Edioda and both GADS, Google Africa Developer Scholarship Program, and I got to deepen my knowledge in code. But I ended up winding in design, because someone decided to post a link in the random section in the Guards Scholarship Slack channel, and I joined the design community. They welcomed me warmly, and we vibed, and we got to our first design challenge, and I knew this was it. This is what I've been looking for. I could literally put these ideas, this problem, and put it to life. People can see what I'm thinking. And that is where my journey started. And here we are 6 months later. And no, I've fully transitioned into design, if you're wondering. If you still think I'm a finance person, you're not the only one who would be thinking, but a lot of people in my family and in my connections still think I'm in finance, and thus a lot of people are still pushing me to find a job in finance and do design part-time. But I know that I love design too much to do it part-time, and I'd love to do it full-time, so I'm still in the process of looking for a job in design. But nonetheless, this is just a way of telling you that you might also have transitioned into design somehow, or to the field you are in currently, and I implore you not to give up searching for those things that pique your curiosity and which your soul seeks to find. Explore. The millions of Kenyans like me who are unemployed and are being forced to do something just for the sake of getting a job, or are doing things they don't love, I'd implore parents, especially parents and guardians and cousins and those people who are vital part of the support system of those who are unemployed, to ask those who are unemployed what they really want, and to find ways to guide, to help and support them monetize their passions. I'm not saying follow your passion, but nonetheless, do what you love. Yeah, what your soul seeks to accomplish, what your calling is. I believe design is my calling, because once I started designing, once I said I'm a designer, I've been having projects back and forth. And I realized that my love for making people's ideas come true is greater than anything I could ever possibly imagine. Not just my ideas, but someone reaching out to me, or someone requesting for a designer to make their idea or their dream come true. And me being part of that is something revolutionary to me, if I can put it that way. You do and find what you love, seek it. Yes, so it might not be the straight journey, it might be the winding path, but nonetheless, never stop and settle for less. Continue seeking. Yes, something I have not captured in this episode, reason, oh definitely, you need to design with a good reason. This is because you don't want to fill your designs with stuff that don't make sense or do not add value, or that can be expressed with less words. Do something with a good reason. Why is the button blue? Why is your text red? Why is your background white? Why are you using this typeface? Why are you using bold text? Why are your features limited to 5? Have good reasons and have good alternatives. And that's the end of our episode. If you'd like to reach out to me, you can do so through my email. And if you have questions, do so as well. I can't really wait to listen to your feedback. And if you'd like to share my podcast, I don't know, can't it be like the best kept secret between us? But if you think it's gonna help someone, you can go ahead and share. It's your choice in the end. Nonetheless, thank you for spending your 35 minutes or so with me. I hope you found this to be of utility and worth your time. Be blessed. And something else I would like to mention is that you are an amazing human being. You need to know that. Peace. Mwah. Else I forgot to add is that you need to also, please kindly stick to the team through the end, through thick and thin. Don't give up on your team. It gets tough, it's hard. If you're left as the sole designer, stick with the project team, stick with the project leader until you have your deliverable in live motion. Yes, so that is the end of our podcast. This is a podcast episode. This is part one, so stick around for part two. I'm so excited. If you have other lessons, you can share with me through my email. And don't fret to also share your concerns and practice the art of constructive criticism. I'm so excited that I finally rolled this out, and I'm definitely humbled to listen to your responses. A word of advice is that you can't give up. It's hard. You can't give up. That's not the end of you. Don't give up. Peace. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me on this episode where I'll be teaching and talking about the lessons I've picked up so far as a designer. This is the second part of this series. So if you haven't watched the first 10 lessons, I'd advise you to listen so that when you come to this part, you'll actually understand what's going on. So I will pick from the 11th lesson, which is never give up, just take it all in. As I've been learning on steroids, if I can call it, I realized that it's hard. It's really hard learning something new and learning it at such a rapid pace because things are changing. You need to take it all in, because once you give in your work for feedback, you have to take it all in, and there's some stuff you're like, what? Wait, what is that? So you have to just accept those corrections, as much as sometimes you may think it's demeaning. It really is for your good. It's aimed at, it has, personally, it has helped me become a better designer because it has helped me look at things from a different perspective. So you can't give up. It's hard, but as someone said, if it's not easy, everyone would be doing it. And if it's hard, then it must be worth your while. So don't give up. Something else is be real with yourself and allow yourself to feel. Well, as much as you're supposed to separate your personal feelings from your work, your work is your blood, your sweat, and your tears, and you'll definitely feel hurt when someone says your work is bad, for example. But that level of emotion and dedication is also what is going to push you further in your learning journey and in your exploration journey into who you are as a designer. So it's simple. Be real with yourself. Acknowledge what you feel. If you feel hurt, if you feel embarrassed, if you feel pain, if you feel excited and bewildered, be real with yourself. Acknowledge these feelings. They're there for a reason. Don't demonize them, as I have in the past. If you feel puzzled or confused, you're like, I'll just keep quiet on this and let it go. No, explore that feeling if you need to. I've time and time again explored it, and it has helped me. So be real with yourself and allow yourself to feel. Then something else, if it's some it's something you need to overcome in terms of what you're feeling, solve as you go. If you feel insecure, accept that, learn more about that, and solve that as you go along your journey. It's not like if you feel insecure, then you're not meant to be designing and you just stop there. No, just accept what you feel, solve. If it's a problematic feeling, accept it and solve it as you go. Something else I've learned is that you need to live in the present and be an active observer. This has helped me see things, note things, which in my world of the world where I get lost into, I'll not be able to see and to interact and to feel. For example, if I want to derive inspiration from nature, at that particular moment I need to be present, because with nature, for example, if I'm observing the clouds, 1 second from now the clouds will not look the same because of that transition. And if you want to see things in motion, the best place is to view nature as you are in the present, in your present state. So don't get lost in your head too much and forget what is going on around you, but as much as you can, step back, observe people, especially people, if it's not nature, people, see how they interact with each other, see the cues and those certain things they do unconsciously, because those unconscious cues will lead you to discoveries and will help you solve problems in a way that you wouldn't have if you were lost and not attentive. So be attentive in your present state, know what's going on around you, and you'll be surprised as to what happens in the real life, if I can put it that way. And also be an active learner. That's something that sounds so obvious, but I had to put it in and I had to show you and tell you that this field is a field which evolves so fast. Things move on so fast. One tool may be hot today, but in the next year it's obsolete. One skill might be so hot, might be in much demand, but by the time we reach the next month, it's just something that everyone is doing, and the supply has matched the demand, and it's not really much in demand. So you need to understand the skills you need to learn. As much as you want to learn everything, you can't learn everything. But you can select the skills that are relevant to you achieving your best works as a designer. And once you learn those particular skills, I'm not saying knowledge, I'm saying skills. Once you skill up, you'll be able to be at par with what the industry is demanding as per design requirements. Something else I've learned is that you need to be humble. You're going to be corrected a lot, you're going to be under people a lot, and you're going to be bossed around, but nonetheless, you need to be humble, because when you're humble, you learn. I have had to be humble. I've had to get out of that high horse of mine and humble myself so that I can accept correction, so that I can accept what I cannot change. I can also accept what needs to be done and accept the rules I've been given and just do my best. So you have to be really humble, because once you're humble, you'll be able to learn and you'll be able to grow, not just by yourself, but you'll be humble enough, you'll be at a level where you'll be able to help other people around you grow and help other people around you prosper. If you're proud, you're gonna fall and you're not going to achieve your best. because you'll not be able to learn your mistakes, and you'll not be able to evolve as you ought to have. So you have to be humble. I've had to be humble. And another lesson is that you need to aim to be the best designer, whatever that means. To me, being the best designer is one who empowers and advocates for good design wherever I am. That's like one version of success to me. That's what I believe, or what I envision me being as the best designer in the industry. Your version of being the best designer might be different from me. And I'm not talking about these extrinsic stuff like being the most paid, having the most exposure. That stuff is important, but in the end, when your book of remembrance is being signed, what's the impact you've had around people, around the things you've touched, those screens you animated? What life did you bring to it that made a difference around and within the people who interacted with those screens? So basically, my version of success might be different from yours. Yours may be more influenced by the extrinsic factors, and that's cool. That's you. And you need to aim to be the best of that. And you need to work towards that. There is no shortcut. And I think another lesson I've not talked about, which I ought to talk about, is you need to put in the work. It's hard work. And so far in these 6 months, I've had to push myself to achieve my version of being the best designer. And slowly but surely, I'm realizing it. I'm not yet there. And I realize that it needs a lot of work. A lot of work. And there's no shortcuts to it. You just have to put in the work. And the goal is not the connections or the networks that will set you up for the job, but it's your work itself which will talk on your behalf on how good you are as a designer. That's what I've learned so far. It's not the networks and the shortcuts, but it's the work you produce. It's the level of thinking. It's the heart. It's the detail that you put into your screens, into your work, into your product, that will evangelize for you on your behalf. So you have to put in the work so that the work can be seen. The notion of the 10,000 hours, I don't know. I'm just taking it a day at a time. And there's so much you can't control, but the little you can, do it wisely. This has been a lesson I've had to learn the hard way, because I'm at the farm and there's so much I can't control. Right now we don't have electricity, and I don't know how long we'll stay out. I don't know, because once it rains, for example, our electricity is tampered with, and you have to wait for quite some time so that it can come back. These are some of the things I can't control, and without electricity, there's no much digital product work you can do other than sketch. And if you've reached a point of your project where you need to work on the computer, it's gonna be hard. But nonetheless, those are some of the things I can't control. And I can go into detail about the things I cannot control, like the weather. I cannot control. Once it rains, electricity goes out, and you know the process, right? And that's meaning I can't really control. So understand that there's some things in your life you can't control. I may talk about electricity and weather in a jokingly manner, but there's some serious stuff that we can't control. You may be a mom, and as much as you'd like to sit down and design, you have tasks to do and you can't really design, and that's totally cool. Once you accept that, the little time that you do have, You have to use it wisely so that you can make derive full utility from that little time you have. It's not in the much, it's in that little that you invest in to make your dreams come true. And something, aim to feel stupid every day. Aim to feel stupid every day. That's something that drives me every day, because if a day passes and I don't feel like I felt stupid at some point, it means that I've not learned something new. And the job or the role or the task is basically to ensure that you learn something new. Even if it's 5 minutes worth of watch time on a certain layer which is being produced in a way that you've never done, that's something. Or it can be a whole book of on a topic that you're like, wait, what? Exactly. It can be on something you've never really explored, like Afrofuturism or any other topic that intrigues you. You have to aim to feel stupid every day so that you can expand your horizons. That's it for today. Today was a short one. It wasn't like the first episode, but I do hope you found utility. And if you have any topics in mind that you'd like for me to discuss from my point of view, I hope you'll share. And thank you for your time. I hope it was worth it. This was a short one on the go, so that maybe if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or a topic you'd like me to talk about, please do so by sending an email to me, and I will do my best to prepare something on it. Thank you. Peace.